man. Second service, man. It's so great to see you. I want to welcome those of you on our live stream. Appreciate you being with us today, man. I am so fired up. I wish I had time to get out there and just meet every one of you and talk to you and say, man, it's a big deal you came to church today, man. It says a lot about you. It says a lot to other people. The fact you showed up and come to church today, I hope that God speaks to you. We're in a little series on the Holy Spirit. I never really intended to do a series on the Holy Spirit. It just started on Easter when we were talking about the resurrection of Jesus and what that did for us. And one of the effects of that was the Holy Spirit. And I'm just here to tell you, man, I don't really have the Holy Spirit all figured out. But if you want to learn with me, man, we can work on this together and learn something about him. But Jesus, when he was in the upper room on Thursday night, the day before he was crucified, he makes this statement to his apostles. He says, hey, I'm going away. And it's good that I'm going away, because if I don't go away, I cannot send you the counselor. He used this word, this Greek word, paraclete. It's the word for the Holy Spirit. I cannot send you the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the counselor, the comforter, the teacher. I cannot send him. But if I go away, I can send him to you. There was something about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus that made it possible for Jesus to send us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us to live the Christian life. So when I first got into the ministry, I read this little book. And it was kind of my kind of book, because one, it was only like about a half an inch thick. So my kind of book, it's kind of small. It was called They Found the Secret. And basically it was about 20 stories about different pastors, missionaries, people in the ministry that had learned how to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the difference it had made, not only in their life, but in their ministry. Some of the most famous people we read about in Christian circles were in this book about how they had an experience with the Holy Spirit that changed everything. And it was probably one of the most impactful books I ever read. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit is the key for everyone to try to live this Christian life. How do we do that? We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about it this morning. I want to do it from John chapter 3, all right? So if you got your Bible, you can open it up to John chapter 3. A couple of things about the Holy Spirit that you need to know, and we've talked about some of these. Number one, he is God, all right? So you have one God, the doctrine of the Trinity, one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament's primarily about God the Father. The Gospels are about Jesus the Son. The book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit, all right? All the way through present day, God's still working. But the Holy Spirit has always been present. Even in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. When Jesus got baptized, you have Jesus being baptized. You have God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And you have the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of the dove to empower Jesus to do his ministry. All right? So this is the Holy Spirit. So number one, he is God. Number two, the Holy Spirit provides us access to the Father. All right? Access. God is spirit. Nobody can see God. Nobody's ever seen God. He's spirit. But the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers and gives us a connection. It's through the Holy Spirit that we have access to the Father. So up until the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, man, think about the presence of God. It was terrifying, man. He came down as a burning fire on Mount Sinai, and all the people are just like, we are not going up there. You know, the presence of God was in the temple of God. The temple of God was represented where God was, but inside the temple was this place called the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of God was. And you couldn't go in there, right? Only once a year could somebody go in there. So you think about the temple, you've got like this outer court, like the court of the Gentiles, where if you're a Gentile, that was as close as you could get to the presence of God. Then you had the court of women, and that was close. Then the court of men, then the priest, and then some of the priests could go inside the temple on certain days if they were selected. But only one priest could ever go into the Holy of Holies, the high priest, one day a year on the Day of Atonement. He had to make all these sacrifices before he went in. And then he would go in there and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat of God for the sins of the people that they didn't even know what they did. But before the dude went in, they put this little bell on him and they put a rope around his leg so they could listen for the bell. If they still heard the bell in there, they knew he was still moving around. And if they couldn't hear the bell, they would drag him out by the rope because they assumed God struck him down dead. Nobody could go in there. But the moment when Jesus was crucified, there was this veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the other temple. Some people estimate it maybe was 12 inches thick. The minute Jesus was crucified, the veil was split from top to bottom. It's recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark 15, 37 puts it this way. Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last when he was on the cross. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What is it? It symbolizes the fact that access to God was now available to everyone. That you could access God, that you as a believer, man, you can boldly come before the thrace of God because Jesus paid the price for sin, which is what keeps us separated from God. And the access we have is through the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in us. God is spirit. So we have access. We can actually have the mind of Christ. We can learn what it's like to think like God and to worship God and come before God in his presence because of the Holy Spirit. So he gives us access. Number two, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus, to make Jesus known, all right? And we see this in a couple of different passages. Jesus himself says in John 15, 26, when the counselor comes, same word, advocate, paraclete, helper, when the counselor, the Holy Spirit comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, when the Spirit of truth comes who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He'll reveal me. He'll talk about me, right? The goal of the Spirit is to testify about Jesus. He goes on to say in John 16, 14 that he, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So the goal of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known. That's why Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you know, stick around in Jerusalem until you receive power. And then he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth. You're going to receive power. Why? So you can be my witness. You can tell people what you've seen and heard. You can proclaim Jesus. So when you start telling other people about Jesus, right, the Holy Spirit empowers you. Why? Because that's his goal, man, to make Jesus known. All right? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's his goal, is to make Jesus known. And lastly, it's the Holy Spirit that actually gives us life, all right? So he gives us physical life and spiritual life. So in the beginning, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, when God created Adam, it says that he formed Adam from the dust of the earth. And it says in chapter 2, verse 7, he breathed into him the breath of life. That word breath right there is the same word for the spirit. God breathed into him the spirit and he became a living being. So